right, kids.
It's been called the gentlest situation comedy in television history. And today, nearly four decades since the show made its primetime network debut, Family Affair is still delighting audiences with its masterful blend of heartwarming humor and tender drama. Kathy Garber was 18 years old when she was cast in the role of Sissy, the oldest youngster on the smash hit CBS sitcom. And she recalls that the warm family atmosphere depicted on the show was fostered behind the scenes as well.
We had a great family kind of feeling when we were making Family Affair. I think it was the special personalities of each of the people involved. Brian Keith, although he was like a macho kind of fellow and had done a lot of Westerns, was this really dear, sensitive, nice guy. And, of course, the children. You have to have kind of a family atmosphere when you have two adorable little kids like that. And Sebastian, for all his bluster, had his own family at home with two daughters, one of which was in one of these first episodes in the first season of Family Affair.
According to Kathy, CBS had nothing but faith in its family-oriented sitcom from the moment of its conception.
So now, picture this. They've already cast Brian Keith, Sebastian Cabot. Now they're having the twins. And they're shooting the first episode, which they didn't really have to shoot a pilot because Don Federson, who was the producer, already had this wonderful track record, had My Three Sons that had been running for years. And so they said, here's a bachelor uncle, Brian Keith, with the valet, Sebastian Cabot, who suddenly gets stuck with three kids. And what's he going to do? CBS says, that sounds good. Plus, we're going to shoot it in color, which was really a big, wonderful thing because this was the first, one of the very first shows that they had in color. Everything else was in black and white. That's why you'll notice when you're watching all of the new episodes in this first show, and albeit all through the five seasons, they have the kaleidoscope and showing them in color.
Although filming Family Affair in color was believed to be crucial to its success, most observers felt that it was the talented cast members who were most responsible for the show's widespread appeal.
It's always interesting to me how people are cast in Hollywood. Now, originally, they wanted to have this bachelor and the valet and a 15-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 6-year-old. That was the first part. Well, they approached Glenn Ford, and he turned down the part. And Mr. French, they wanted Terry Thomas, who was a wonderful actor, an English actor. So they went to the expense. They flew Terry Thomas in for the role. As soon as he saw that he was going to have to be working with children, he says, I don't think so. And he was off. So then they got the fabulous Sebastian Cabot. And for the children, my role had been cast with a blonde, blue-eyed girl, and they had cast Anissa Jones as Buffy for the little girl, and then they wanted a 9-year-old boy. Well, after Brian Keith had agreed to do the part of Uncle Bill, he said, you know what? I've just worked with the cutest kid in The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming. And he's only 6 years old, but he's really darling. So they brought in Johnny Whitaker, and they put the two little kids together, and they weren't really twins, but they were so cute together. And so that was the genesis, and that's how the twins were born. Now, for me, the girl that they had cast came back from a trip to Europe and unfortunately had gained about 10 pounds.
So Kathy Garver was called in to audition for the role of Sissy, the teenage sister of Buffy and Jody. But she recalls the audition didn't go exactly as planned.
Okay, so they are shooting this first show, and I do my interview on camera right on the set. But first, I go in to see the producer, Ed Hartman. Now, I just started UCLA. They wanted a 15-year-old blonde, blue-eyed girl. Well, at that time, I did not have these beautiful blonde locks. I had dark hair, and my eyes have always been brown, and we did not have those nice blue contact lenses you could put in your eyes. So there was nothing you could do about the eyes. But my mother, bless her heart, came over to the sorority. I was a Pi Phi at UCLA as a freshman. And she brings Streaks and Tips. So she sprays my hair with these Streaks and Tips so I'll look like I'm a blonde instead of having brown hair. She takes me over to the interview. I'm chatting with the producer, Mr. Hartman. And he says, what's the matter with your hair? I said, my hair? He says, yes, it's turning green. Well, I'm sorry. You're not doing a girl with green hair? They said, no. But that's okay. And so they got me a wig for the pilot, first show. So I have this long blonde wig and as my test. And I'm wearing like a Judy Garland blue and white check dress. Really, I felt as though that the wizard had placed me down in here, put on my blue and white check dress, and I had this long wig. So I got the part, the wig didn't, and that's how we were all cast.
Once the Family Affair cast was in place, shooting was scheduled to accommodate the movie career of leading man Brian Keith.
We shot this show very interestingly, because at that time, TV was kind of taboo for big movie stars. They were separate. But Don Federson is a very smart producer. And he got Fred McMurray to do My Three Sons, and he wanted a movie star to also appear in star in his television series. So he approached the agents, and he approached the stars, and he made them the proverbial offer you can't refuse. He said, okay, look, you come and you star, and you'll be in every episode, but you only have to shoot for like 26 weeks, you know, 2 months, actually 2 months, and you'll be gone. Then you can go do your movies, and we'll give you a piece of the show. Well, they thought this was pretty cool. So what we wound up doing would be shooting scenes from four different shows in one day. So all the scenes that Brian were in, we would shoot. And then he would leave. Now, we'll come back like 2 months later and pick up the shots that we didn't shoot for those, you know, four shows. So it was really kind of interesting. Wardrobe person's horriblest nightmare. That's not good English, but you get my drift.
Kathy found working with Brian Keith to be a happy experience. The fatherly attitude he projected on camera as Uncle Bill was part of his real-life personality as well.
Brian Keith was one of the most interesting people that I have met. He was such a combination of this masculine person with this warmth, and he was very opinionated and very anecdotal. He loved to tell stories and entertain, and if he didn't like somebody on that was a guest star, he would let them know, or the director, or the producer.
Brian Keith was renowned in Hollywood as a thorough professional. So just how would he let a co-star know that he didn't like him?
He wouldn't look at them. When he was acting with them, you know, I said, yeah, that's interesting. Uh-huh. Yeah, you want to go there? Okay. Oh, all right, that's good. That was one of his tricks. Or, you know, if he didn't like a line in one of the shows, I said, well, that's going to be all right. I said, okay. Uncle Bill. So he had a very interesting style.
Brian Keith's demeanor, both on and off camera, provided an entertaining contrast to that of his co-star and real-life pal, Sebastian Cabot.
See, another reason I think that this show worked so well was a contrast between Uncle Bill and Sebastian Cabot. And it went not only to who they were playing, you know, this swinging bachelor, very relaxed, and the very proper butler, but it was also their acting styles. Now, Sebastian would take his lines and he would read them. He would get them letter perfect. He would study them over the weekend and he would come back knowing every single line. Brian would come and say, okay, what are we doing today? Okay, let's go. And so, but it was good because it made that really kind of nice conflict and contrast.
Kathy recalls that even though the cast members got along famously, it took a lot of hard work from everybody to get those episodes completed on schedule.
The first season, we were so locked in to just getting the show in the can. And because I was kind of the workhorse of the show. Brian, you know, was on the special schedule where he was going to be out quickly. Sebastian didn't feel very well some of the times. And the kids were little and had to go to school for 3 hours. I was 18, even though I was playing a 15-year-old. I can't believe I'm admitting this. So I would get there at 6:30 in the morning, get my hair and makeup done, and they would get my close-ups at the end of the day because I was really the only one that was still left and healthy and energetic to do them. Although even then at 18, I think, well, I was fading a little bit. and I was doing my scenes not opposite a cute little six-year-old with, you know, pigtails, but, you know, the assistant director with a cigar. Hey, sissy, you want to go to the park? Yeah, Buffy, why don't we go to the park? That'd be great. Okay, sissy. You know, so it was an acting challenge.
Granted, it was hard work filming Family Affair, but that didn't mean there wasn't time for the occasional indulgence in fun and games.
During the first season, everyone was kind of tricksters. And I remember going underneath the bed, and I was supposed to get Uncle Bill's slippers that had, for some reason, landed under Buffy's bed. So I'm going in to bring his slippers out. So I go in, and I go in, and they had nailed his slippers to the floor. Oh, well, the whole cast and crew thought that was really funny. And I'm landing on my bum as I tried to pull the slippers out.
The fun and frivolity, as well as the downright hard work, paid off for Family Affair's first season on CBS. It was an immediate hit, and it quickly became syndicated throughout the world.
What I think is so cool about this show is that it's gone all over the world and has been accepted in so many places. Gee, I didn't know I could speak Japanese and Italian and Chinese. I'm quite erudite. I can speak all these tongues. I remember being in Japan and turning on Family Affair, and there I was speaking Japanese. That was pretty cool. And China. China is very particular about what shows are going to come into their country. And Family Affair, as you have seen or will see, does not have a lot of sex, violence, and language. And they embraced this show because it was caring and it did have a lesson. So this was one of the few shows, and this was actually about 20 years ago when they allowed television shows from the United States in there, and Family Affair was like number one. Israel, we were the number one show in Israel for I don't know how many years. They only had three stations, so the entire country watched the show.
The stars of Family Affair were now international celebrities. Naturally, their status as globally known TV personalities had an effect on their off-screen lives.
I had been working ever since I was 8 years old, but in television and radio and on the stage. But this show was such a big success and such a hit that I was really unprepared from, you know, going down the elevator in a department store. Said, oh, I saw you on television last night. You were so good. Can I have your autograph? And I said, oh, okay. And it startled me. I wasn't quite sure how to handle it. And I was kind of naturally outgoing and everything, but I started to get a little reclusive. And I said, why are all these people around and what do they want? And then it came to me that these were fans and I would make them happy to give them an autograph or something. So got over that bump. But there were, you know, a couple bumps like that along the way.
The success of Family Affair was so overwhelming that its stars now had trouble going anywhere without being pestered for autographs and photos. Even cast members with non-speaking roles were becoming hugely popular.
Well, this little lady became a very famous a doll. Now, I just recently learned that this was one of the first lady dolls that was made. You had baby dolls and maybe, you know, Barbie dolls, but to have a little old lady doll, you know, was something unusual. And the first episode, she didn't have her glasses at that time, but then she got her glasses on. One of the classic episodes was, Mrs. Beasley, where are you? Well, this is a very scary thing to lose your doll. Mr. French inadvertently taps her over the balcony and she is lost. Buffy is beside herself. The whole family is trying to find Mrs. Beasley. And so we finally find her. And the story is, Uncle Bill, they can't understand why this means so much. And then I explained to him, well, when our parents died in Family Affair, this was the only friend that Buffy had. And so she meant so much to her, you know, and it was a reminder also of her mom and dad. And I must say, when I go and I do autograph shows and in different cities, and people will come up to me and they said, oh, I had a Mrs. Beasley doll, and she meant so much to me. She said, we had to move one time, and I took my Mrs. Beasley doll, and I hugged her, and it was the only thing that gave me solace from that move.
Fans of the series could take solace in the fact that no matter what trials and tribulations were taking place in their own lives, they could always find their favorite show week after week in its regular primetime slot on the CBS network. And even though the show was only in its first season, there were already major changes afoot that would drastically affect the fabric of Family Affair. Sebastian Cabot, who played the beloved Mr. French, fell ill and was forced to leave the series on a temporary basis. His place was taken in a handful of episodes by fellow Britisher John Williams.
During the first season that you'll see in this wonderful compilation, there were like four or five episodes where John Williams took over for Sebastian. Sebastian had gotten sick, but he wanted to come back, and we were all praying that he would get well. So in the interim, they wanted somebody else to take his place.
One of Kathy's all-time favorite episodes actually featured John Williams.
And there's one episode, too, I think it's entitled All Nephews Are Created Equal, where the nephew of the French household comes over, and in the long heritage of butlerhood and valet-ness, he was going to become a valet as well. Well, I just think he's adorable. And being the egalitarian that Sissy was, she says, oh, well, let's go out. Well, of course, our new Mr. French, John Williams, is appalled at this because the help does not go out with the people that they are serving. But the nephew wants to be a dentist. And so the whole thing was, you know, gone a tilt. But it all is resolved in the end, and I don't go out with him. I go out with him, but he goes back to England, and Nigel is still there. But then he leaves after that episode, and maybe to escort him back, and then Sebastian comes and takes back over, and then for the next 4 years and the next four seasons, he is our Mr. French.
In addition to the regular cast members, Family Affair occasionally showcased the talents of guest stars, some of whom went on to television stardom in their own right.
We had Robert Reed on as one of our guest stars. I'm not, well, I don't know how well Brian got along with Robert Reed, but Robert Reed was played the Brady Bunch's father, Mike, and I fall in love with him as my teacher. I just revere every single thing that comes out of his mouth, and I think he's so terrific. And I invite him over for dinner, and I start spouting out all his wonderful things that he said. And I think the episode's called Think Deep, and I'm thinking deeply and spouting Robert Reed's, Julian's words. And I invite him over to dinner. Because Uncle Bill says, well, who is this person? So then it turns out that he is, you know, kind of obsessive compulsive and gets mad at the twins and yells at them. And, you know, I say, well, how can you yell at my brother and sister whom I love so much? Maybe you're not the great idol that I think you are. And so the idol tumbles and falls and breaks into a million little pieces all over the Davis household.
In Kathy's opinion, it was the very warmth and tenderness expressed in the Davis household that made Family Affair such a hit with viewers throughout the world.
You'll see as you watch all the episodes that there are themes that run through the entire Family Affair. And part of these themes is that there is a moral, there's a lesson at each end, and I don't think it's like thrown at you. It is just subtly in there. It makes it very warm. I also think that this was one of the first shows, I mean, kind of a dysfunctional family, But it also endeavored to be very ecumenical, and it concerned a lot of different people.
Family Affair became a hit and remains a favorite with viewers across the globe for a number of reasons. It had genuine, warm-hearted comedy. It had tenderly executed moments of drama. But most importantly, it depicted the very best of human behavior. Its characters loved and cared about one another. And according to Kathy Garber, the people who played those characters loved and respected each other in real life as well.
Wasn't that Family Affair was so different from many other sitcoms with families that have been aired? But I believe our show became a classic because of the personalities of the people. As I say, Brian Keith with this macho guy, but very warm on the inside. Sebastian blustery, very warm person. Johnny Whitaker and I were born on the very same day, a couple different years, December 13th, and there's the same kind of outward feeling towards people that you want to connect with them on an emotional level, on a heartfelt level, not just intellectual or not just playing a character. And in Nisa Jones, Buffy was the sweetest child, you know, that you're ever going to meet. And Mrs. Beasley was okay, too. So I think that that combination, you know, helped to sustain it, made it an emotional favorite of people.